It's Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Madeline Brand. Hurricane season 2006 starts June 1st, and on Monday, the National Weather Service will issue its forecast for the months ahead. Max Mayfield, the director of the Hurricane Center in Miami, was quoted in the Washington Post as saying, "I think a lot of people say you could never have the same death and damages as we did last season. I'm here to say it could happen."
When the storms intensify and come close to land, we start hearing reports from the National Hurricane Center in Miami. I wanted to go see that building and to meet some of the people who work inside. When I went to Miami, I even found some weather.
The wind has picked up. There's a rainstorm coming through. This is a light gray stone concrete structure. It looks very sturdy. Up on the roof, there's a bright blue steel catwalk running the entire length of the building. The radar array is up there, and the antennas and the satellite dishes.
This building was finished in 1995, and it's meant to be pretty much hurricane-proof. The walls are poured-in-place concrete, 10 inches thick. The National Hurricane Center and Tropical Prediction Center is on a university campus in West Miami. Inside the building, the atmosphere is hushed and cool. Mostly, it's people looking at computer screens. Martin Nelson is a meteorologist who works the evening shift. At 10 o'clock at night, he has data moving on 7 monitors at once.
Could it be that you would be, on a given night here, the first person to see the origin of what could become a hurricane?
Absolutely. That happens many, many times. That's part of our job. We'll see, for example, when we get into the heart of the season, we'll see a tropical wave moving off the African coast, begin to track it, start mentioning it in the tropical weather discussion. Yes, about 99% of the time, we will be the first ones that will see something developing.
Jacksonville, cloudy, temperature
78
degrees,
and Tallahassee, light rain with falling. Simple weather tech. Inflate a white balloon with hydrogen. It climbs to about 90,000 feet and then explodes. A parachute brings a radio sonde back to Earth, an instrument package, transmitting electronically. The National Weather Service has these balloons going up twice a day all over the country.
My name is Lieutenant Jennifer Prago. I'm a NOAA Corps officer assigned to the National Hurricane Center as a oceanographer. There's 299 of us. Our main mission is to operate the ships, and we have 19 ships that we have officers on board.
On Lieutenant Prago's computer screen, various views of the Gulf of Mexico. She's in contact with commercial vessels out there. She knows what the skippers are up against. She went to Emergent Marine Academy and often sails on one of the NOAA ships. Another way to end up working for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is to graduate with a double major. Chris Hughes is a meteorologist and computer specialist. He grew up fascinated by weather, but not at first.
I was really scared of thunderstorms as a kid, but my parents played with me to get me out of that fear.
How?
I think the way my mom tells the story, and it always embarrasses me at parties, that I would roar back at the thunder, and so that I would try to be louder than the storm.
And imagine this, at the start of your career, Chris Hughes was on duty last August when the eye of Katrina passed directly over this building. It was barely a Category 1, but officially a hurricane. He stepped outside for a moment into the calm eye of the storm.
The flag on top of our building was completely limp, just complete calm. There's a fine mist. You could see lightning and power flashes all around you from the very strong winds in the eye wall.
A ham radio operator spins his tuning dial.
This is WX4NHC, Whiskey X-ray 4, National Hurricane Center. Is anyone on frequency?
Julio Rapol is a Miami architect and longtime ham radio guy. Way back in 1980, he started helping the Hurricane Center, which was then close to his college dorm.
So every time there was a hurricane, I'd put my radio in a little box, and I'd walk across the street, and I would set it up in one of the hurricane forecasters' desk, run a wire antenna out the window, and that's how we started this station.
When the tropical storms cross the Atlantic and it appears they'll make landfall, 36 volunteer ham radio operators set up a roster and start arriving at the National Hurricane Center. They'll work three-hour shifts. They call out to the Caribbean islands in Central America, sending warnings, asking for local wind speeds and barometric pressures, damage reports. Here's one story they'll tell a ham operator on an island in rising winds and water, climbs into his attic with a shortwave radio, a car battery, runs a copper wire out a window, and bounces a signal off the ionosphere, getting through when the phones are out and satellites are useless.
K5CRL with a relay.
K5SIB calling WX4NHC, Miami. Julio, how you been, buddy?
Julio Rapol has reached a friend out there on the radio, Bob, in Austin, Texas. They've been through several hurricanes together. Bob offers this example of how a signal is relayed.
Late one evening, one of our Canadian members received some very weak signals of people needing assistance during Fabian. He relayed to Austin, Texas, and this station in Austin relayed directly into Miami.
Bob, thank you very much. K5SIV, this is WX4NHC, National Hurricane Center.
K5 Sugar, Ida Victor.
73. Come on, gang, come on in.
A school group comes in for a tour. The kids are wondering, what goes on in this hurricane place?
Today, you just turn on your television and you get a hurricane forecast. We tell you when the hurricane is coming. How did we warn people before we even had electricity?
Telegraph.
Telegraph.
The forecasting of hurricanes is a science with overlays of intuition, boosted by massive technology. The storm surge team in this postseason and preseason has been running big weather systems through the supercomputers, as many as 15,000 storm simulations. They generate graphics of where the water is going to go, given the intensity of the storm. And they send out CDs so that local emergency directors can see how much water could end up in their front yards. Last August, the oceanographers saw Katrina coming and said, this is big. This will be a 25-foot surge of water from the Gulf, rising water topped by crashing wind-blown waves. The warnings were issued, and in a quiet room in Miami, the waiting began. Stephen Baig, the team leader, recalls watching the data stream in. He was hoping that people in the path of the storm were paying attention.
About 18 hours before landfall, we finally had good confidence in what was about to eventuate. And we all just became very quiet, very focused. And in fact, we called a former storm surge chief who had just recently retired. We called him and said, do you want to come in and see this? This is more or less going to be one of those once-in-a-lifetime events. This is what you worked on for 20 years after Camille, and he spent the night with us here. We're watching the tide gauges along the coast. They didn't survive the storm, but while they were putting out real-time data, we were watching, checking them with the calculations and saying, yes, the model results are being verified every hour by hour.
Stephen Baig talking with us at the National Hurricane Center in Miami, Florida. We're now about 2 weeks away from the start of the new Atlantic storm season. The first hurricane will be Alberto.
And you'll find more at our website, npr.org.